Okay, we're going to be in here at the top of Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara is continuing the discussion that we had yesterday with regards to Chezkat Tahara, Chezkat Tumah. Yesterday we discussed our Mishnah and the machloki between Shammai and Hillel and the Mishnah with regards to the standing of the woman. We asked a question from two places, once from Mikveh and once from Chavit. The difference between Mikveh and Chavit is what the Gemara noted at the end was that in the case of Mikveh, it ends up being Vadai Tameh, whereas by the case of Chavit, it only ends up being Safik. So Gemara wants to reconcile between those two positions. We saw by Mikveh and we saw by Chavit that they have Tarte li Riyuta. They have two problems with them. One Riyuta is in the object itself, whether it's Mitukan or whether it's Tahor. The other is in the secondary item, which is either here the Truma or by the Mikveh itself. So you have Tarte li Riyuta. So we said that's different than the woman who only has Chad li Riyuta. In our case, the woman, it's Chad li Riyuta, which is that she had a Chezkat Tahara, and then that's been ruined by the fact that she has a sighting of Dam now. So that's how the Gemara differentiated between the woman and these two cases. Then the Gemara wants to reconcile between these two cases, which is you have a case by Mikveh, which is Tarte de Riyuta, where we say a Safek ends up being a Vadai. We don't know in the Tarte de Riyuta, we say that it's Vadai Tamei. And then in the case of Chavit, where you have Tarte de Riyuta over there, we say that it's Safek Tevel. The item that you tried to be Mafrish Truma from is Safek Tevel. You have to be Mafrish again, but the original is also Truma. So you have a Safek there. The Gemara wants to know why is that the case. Gemara's answer is that we have two different authors here. One is authored by Rabbi Shimon, and one is authored by the Tanakhama, Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Shimon, when you do have a Safek, in both cases, by Mikveh as well as by Chavit, it will remain a Safek. Whereas by the Chachamim, they look at a Safek in these cases. They don't see a Safek, they see it as a Vadai in these two cases. So that's how we concluded the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, what's the source for this difference? And that's the top of Gimel. They both learned their positions out of Sota. Rabbanan Zavre Ki Sota. Rabbanan say that these cases are similar to a Sota. Ma Sota Safek Hi Vasua Ke Vadai. A Sota is a Safek. We don't know for certain that this woman cheated on her husband. The only thing we know is that she was nistera, that she was secluded with another man after being warned and not to be secluded with this man. Yet, she is a surah to her husband until she drinks the mei sota. So there we treat her like a vadai, as if there's something wrong until we can clarify the situation. So hachanami, in our case as well, safek vasua ki vadai. So even though it's a safek, nevertheless we're going to treat it like a vadai. Where it says, imi sota, if you're really going to compare it to the case of sota, ema ki sota, then say really like a sota. Ma sota birshut rabim tohor, hachanami birshut rabim tohor. So we've seen this before, that sota is the paradigm for safek tuma. Sota is the case in the Torah where you have safek tuma, and how do we deal with it? So there we know that by sota, if it's a safek birshut yachid, tmeya. If it's a safek birshut rabim, tohora. So that is a paradigm that we apply to all Tumah. So over here also, why don't the Chachamim differentiate between Reshut HaYachid and Reshut HaRabim? We saw before in the case of Mikveh, then Reshut HaYachid, then Reshut HaRabim, they don't make any distinction, they don't make any differentiation. And the same is true by the Chavit. Why not? If you're comparing to Sotah, their whole limud comes out of Sotah, it should have the same dinim as a Sotah, which means Reshut HaRabim, it should be Tahor. It says, Achiashto, how can you compare those two cases? Hotam, what is the reason that Bishut HaRabim by Sota that it's Tahor? Because the reason by Sota that's problematic is Stirah, is because of the seclusion. Ustira Bishut HaRabim Leka. There is no seclusion in Bishut HaRabim. The whole problem is that she was Mityached, that she was alone, secluded with another man after being warned not to. In Bishut HaRabim, you can't be secluded. So therefore, she never violated or never entered into the Parsha of Sota. Hacha mishum chaser hu mali chaser b'shut rabim mali chaser b'shut yachid. Over here, the whole problem is that the mikveh is missing water. If the mikveh is missing water, why should it matter whether it was placed in b'shut rabim or b'shut yachid? It has no impact or bearing on whether the mikveh is full or is missing water. Techitema. Well, if you want to suggest here, ha kol safek tumah b'shut rabim tohor. What about the fact that in general we say, and again, the paradigm that we learn out from Sota is that anytime we deal with a Safek Tuma'a B'Shut HaRabim, it is Tahor. So forget about comparing it directly to the case of Sota. What about that general principle that Safek Tuma'a B'Shut HaRabim is Tahor? Since that principle applies in general to Tuma'a, why not apply it over here as well? So Namar says, Kevin the Ikatar to the Riyuta, Since there are two negatives in the case of mikveh, kevadai tuma domi, therefore it has a din like vadai tuma. Not only does the Tarte de Riuta change it from a safek into a vadai, but Tarte de Riuta also says that there's no differentiation between Rishut Rabim and Rishut Yochid. Rabbi Shimon Savar ki sota. Rabbi Shimon also compares it to sota. Ma sota birshut Rabim tavor. Achanami Rishut Rabim tavor. Like we saw in the position of Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Rishut Rabim, he says tavor. Gemara says, I mi sota, ima ki sota. If you want to compare it to sota, take it the whole way. Ma sota birshut Yachit me avadai. Achanami Rishut Yachit me avadai. We saw in the position of Rabbi Shimon. When it comes to Rishut Yachit, it's tmeya safek. Tolin. It leaves it too much safek yet. By sota, when it's a safek b'shut yachid, she becomes like a vadai tmeya, because we don't allow her to go back to her husband until she drinks the mei sota. We treat her like a vadai tmeya. Achiyashta, you can't compare the cases. Hotom, by the case of sota, yesh raglayim ledavar. You have circumstantial evidence that there is a problem here. Shari kina la v'nistara. She was warned not to seclude with this individual, and she violated that warning. There's already a certain amount of suspicion, circumstantial evidence that points to the fact that this woman is not acting appropriately. So that already causes us to say that a safek is like a vadai. Over here, hacha, my raglayim ledavar iko. Over here, what did the mikveh do wrong? Didn't do anything wrong. It's nothing about this that would indicate to us that it should be chaser. It's just the fact that we found it chaser now. So that doesn't indicate there was some reason to believe it was always chaser. I bayitema. So some want to say, Kainu taimo de Rabbi Shimon. This is the reason why Rabbi Shimon, not from sota, and the same will be true with the Chachamim, that it's not from sota. Gamar sof tuma mitchila tuma. He's learning out sof tuma, meaning mikveh, from tchila tuma, which is safek naga. This was something that we discussed yesterday, which was when we had the safek by the mikveh, Rashi set up the case as being a safek mikveh b'shuta yachid, safek mikveh b'shuta rabim. But there's another way to have the safek b'shuta yachid b'shuta rabim, is that where did the tuma take place? Which is the safek naga. Was there a safek when you came into contact with the tuma? So Rabbi Shimon looks at sof tuma, which is the mikveh, from tchila tuma, which is the contact with tuma. Ma tchila tuma, safek naga, safek lo naga. By tchila tuma, when you have a safek of whether you came into contact with tuma, not bishut rabim tahor. There, bishut rabim is considered tahor. Av sof tuma, so too by sof tuma mikveh, safek taval, safek lo taval, bishut rabim tahor. At the end, it should also be tahor. Meaning that the same way that we view the question of coming into contact with tuma, so too will we view the tahara process from tuma. So just like in the beginning of tuma, Rishut Rabim is tahor, so too at the end of the process, by the tevila and the mikveh, we'll say the same thing. Rabbanan, achiyashta, how can you compare the cases? Hotam gavra b'cheska tahara koi. So, misveika lo machtinen le'du tuma. In the beginning, you had a gavra, an individual who had a cheskat tara. He was tahor. Safek if he came to me, safek if he didn't come to me. Over there, we say b'shut rabim tahor. We're not going to make him tamei b'safek. Hocha, gavra b'cheskat tumakoi. Over here, he's for sure tamei b'safek alo mafkin alemi tumato. We're not going to release him from the tuma because of a safek. You can't compare tchila tuma to sof tuma. Tchila tuma, you're starting with a premise of cheskat tara. So over there, the safek leads you to a position of saying it's tahor. In sof tuma, you're already dealing with something that's vadai tamei, and now you're trying to remove the tuma. So in the case of safek, it's going to remain tamei. So you can't compare tchila tuma to sof tuma.
Tchila tuma means that it's chazaka, it is that it was tahor, and it's something that maybe it's tamei. Sof tuma means that it's chazaka, it's tamei, and it's something that's really...
So Tosafot asks your question. That's what it says in the end. What's Rabbi Shimon's taina? Like Shaul's asking over here. If you have a cheskat tahara and a cheskat tuma, then how does he ever compare the two cases? How do you compare the two cases when you're dealing with different statuses of the person, the individual? It's clear that if you have a cheskat tahara, you should go the suffix is the kula. If you have a cheskat tuma, the suffix should be the chumra. So what's Rabbi Shimon's logic then? The chumim of a good taina. So Tosafot, you see over here, Tosafot says, Gamar sof tuma b'tchila tuma taima. The Shapir Kamri Rabbonim, the Atamik is Chazkat Tara. Exactly your question, Shaul. V'yesh Lamar, the Gamar Mitzchila Tumah Heicha Daleka Chazkat Tara. Says that you have to assume that the Rabbi Shimon learns it from a case where there is no Chazkat Tara. And then he gives cases like that, where you have cases of without Chazkat Tara. So you have to assume that Rabbi Shimon's paradigm where he learned out Sof Tumar from Tchilat Tumar is using cases in Tchilat Tumar where there is no Cheskat Tahara. And because of that, he avoids the problem that you're asking as well. It's obvious that the Safik should go that way or the other way because of the Chazakah. So what he does, or Tosfos says, he eliminates Chazakah from the picture, and then he learns out Sof Tumar from Tchilat Tumar. Alright, now the Gemara goes back Now, Maishnam Mimavui, we're leaving what we just did, and we're going back to the original question, which is the argument of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai argue in our mission about the status of the woman. Shammai says she has a cheskat, ta'ara, or tehora, until she sees, until her sighting, tayashata. And Hillel says that we look retroactively to the Mefreya, that she already had the tuma. So now, why is that different, Mimavui? Titanan, a sheret shenim tabi mavui. You found a dead sheret in a mavui, which is tamei, mitamei, the Mefreya. We assume that any ta'arot that were moved through this mavoi, that were done in this mavoi, or tmeim, because they came into contact with the sheretz, until someone can say for certain, I checked this mavoi. Veloya bo sheretz, and there were no sheretzim here. Oh, achata kibud, or the last time it was swept out. Like the equivalent of me'ed le'et and b'kida l'b'kida. Over here, it's the lesser of the last time it was swept out, or the last time someone checked the mavoi. But what do you see over here?
What do you say?
I'm not saying that it's similar in that graph. I'm just saying that you have two items, and whichever the latest one, they can diminish on the other. From that perspective, not made late. They don't hold the made. Say either it was swept or it was checked. Whichever one was the last one to be done, that's when it gets cut off. Shammai said there's no lemafreya, tuma lemafreya. Over here you have a mission, explicit mission by Sheret, that you have tuma lemafreya. So atam nami, came into ika shretzim di gufei. You have shretzim that reside in the mavui itself. And then you also have shretzim who come to party there. They come from the outside and they come to join their friends in the mavui. Therefore, it's equivalent to tarti the riyuta dummy. It's equivalent of tarti the riyuta. By tarti the riyuta, we said before that Shammai agrees that there is tuma lemafreya. That was the distinction we drew between mikveh, chavit, and the case of nida. So over here, this case of sheretz will also be in that category of tarte de riuta, and that will be distinct from the case of nidan. Vivai teima, hainu taima de Shammai. Or, this is another way to do it, is explain Shammai's reasoning differently. Hoyo vi isham margeshet v'atzma. This principle that a woman senses the expulsion of the blood from the uterus. So this again, we talked about this a little bit in the introduction, that mina Torah, a woman is only Tmei'ah, tumat nida, when blood leaves the mikor, leaves the uterus, and she senses it, she feels it leaving the mikor. So, Shammai says, well, if a woman's gonna have that sensation of the dam leaving, then if she didn't have that sensation, we're gonna assume that the blood that came now happened now. Because had it happened earlier, she would have sensed it. Bilel, zvurar, gashen mei raglaimi. She couldn't differentiate between urinating and menstruating, because she could have argusha for both of them. So she had argusha before, but she just assumed that it was a sensation of urinating, or something moving of the liquids. So therefore she didn't assume it was nida, and that's why she doesn't associate it. But in Ochanami she did have the blood leave the uterus much earlier than the sighting now. Wait, according to Shammai, what are you going to do with a woman who is sleeping? A woman who's sleeping, she can have a sighting of blood, and there's no way she could have had a hargusha beforehand because she was asleep. It says, no, yishena nami agav tse'ara mitu'ara, that because of the pain or the sensation of the blood leaving the uterus, that causes her to awaken. And so even though she's sleeping, she wouldn't sleep through the hargusha, according to Shammai, and she would have been awoken by this hargusha, the fact that she wasn't, indicates to us that the dam came now. Mida dahava hargashat mei raglayim. Says it's just similar to at night when you have a sensation that you need to urinate. Person, when they have a sensation to urinate at night, wakes up. They wake up and then they go to the bathroom. So it's the same thing here by the woman who is menstruating. If she has hargasha, she'll be awoken by that hargasha. It's the body's way as an auto sensor there that knows when you have these sensations to wake up. Vaika shota. What are you going to do with the Eishota? A woman who doesn't have the capacity to understand or to know about the Hargashot. What are you going to do with that? Because if we have a woman as a shulta, and then we know she has a sighting, we don't know whether she had her gusher beforehand or not, we can't tell. That's the answer to the Gemara. Moda Shammai b'shulta. Shammai agrees by a shulta that he can't do it. There's no way to determine, and therefore you always have to be choshesh for the tumah. Exactly what your question is. That's the answer for Shammai. Shammai says that she's out of this parsha, because it's not relevant to her. She's never going to be able to, we're never going to get information from her, so therefore we have to always assume that she is tumah, or there's tumah, the mafreya. So now Gemara says, wait, ha kol anashim ktanim. The Mishnah says kol anashim. So how are you going to say that it's excluding the shulta? So Gemara says, no, kol anashim pikot. It's talking about all women who are of capacity to understand this. So all women who have the capacity to understand it, then that's what's included in the Mishnah. Vilitnei nashim. So why don't you just write nashim in the Mishnah? Instead of writing kol anashim, just write nashim in the Mishnah. Lafuke min derabbi Eliezer. Comes to exclude Rabbi Eliezer. So it says, call, not like Rabbi Eliezer, because Amar Rabbi Eliezer, this is a Mishnah coming up. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, in the next Mishnah, Arba Nashim Dayan Shatan. There are four women who have this principle of Dayan Shatan, which we'll get to in the Mishnah on Dav Zayin. Over here, Shammai is coming to say, no, call Nashim. It's not limited to these four. It's much more extensive. There are many women who have this din. All women who have the capacity to understand are going to have this. So the goal is to exclude Rabbi Eliezer. And it's not kol nashim, but kol nashim pikchot. So therefore, kamash v'lan, kol nashim. Vayika k'tamim. What are you going to do with the din of k'tamim, of stains that are found? So later on in the Gemara, we're going to learn that k'tamim, or ketem, is an indication of the blood being yotze, indication of menstruation. And therefore, what are you going to do with Shammai now? A ketem has nothing to do with hargosha, has nothing to do with the flow, yet we're saying the woman's tmeah. Lema tnan tamim deloki shamai. Let's assume that the Mishnah of tamim is not like Shammai. So Amar Abaye modeh Shammai big tamim. Shammai will agree by tamim that there's no way for us to deal with it. Yeah, she's tmeah even the mafreya. My time, huh? Bitzipor lo nitaska. She didn't work with a bird, meaning she didn't do shchita or be plucked, but she wasn't plucking chickens. Bishuk shel tabachim lo avra. She didn't go through the butcher shop. So, hi dam echati. What's our choice here? When we assume the dam's here, what's our choice to deal with it? So he's got to say that the fact that it was an expulsion of dam and it had to happen beforehand. The fact that we're finding the ketem now means it doesn't happen now. It must have happened beforehand. So we're left with no choice in that case. And it's exactly what you're asking, is that for Shammai, over here, that's the only way to deal with the ketem, because everything else that he's stipulating doesn't make sense here, because the case is different. By the ketem, ketem is evidence of the fact that there must have been a flow of blood beforehand. So this is another possibility of what the reasoning behind Shammai is. Shammai says, if there was a flow earlier, you would have seen it. The fact that you didn't see it is an indication that there wasn't a flow. Beit Hillel says, wait a minute. There is a long distance between the exit of the dam from the uterus to the time that it exits the woman herself. And because of that, there's a possibility that the dam will not come out immediately. It could be in nitakev. It could be stuck on the way out. And because of that, there's a delay between the time that it left the uterus and the time that the woman actually has this sighting. B'shamay, kodei beiderechem lo mekmei dam. Shammai believes that the kodei beiderechem are not going to hold up the dam. The dam's a liquid. It'll flow out. If it already expelled from the rechem, from the uterus, then it's already going to be, the woman's going to see it right away. So far we've had three approaches to Shammai. Three approaches to understand the position of Shammai. The first approach is the difference between Cheskat Tara and Tarte de Riuta, meaning that the woman has Chada de Riuta, the cases of Mikveh, the case of Chavit, the case of Mavui are all Tarte de Riuta. The case of Shammai is Chada de Riuta, and therefore we put her Becheskat Tara. That's the first explanation. Second explanation that we gave for Shammai is the explanation of Hargosha. The sensation, the woman would have a sensation that she was having an expulsion of blood. In fact, she doesn't have that sensation, indicates to us that it must have just happened. The third explanation that we have in Shammai is that if the dam came out, you'd see it immediately. There's no such thing as the fact that the dam, when it's expelled from the uterus, somehow doesn't come out immediately. It must come out immediately. If it comes out immediately, then if we see the dam now, it means that it just exited the uterus. Three different explanations for Shammai. Meshameshet b'moch, like on the Meimar. What are you going to do with a woman who is using contraception? So over here, this is a question on Shammai's last position. The last position is that if she sees dam coming out of the uterus, it's automatically going to leave the woman. If she's using contraception, in their day, how do they use contraception? She used to put into the vaginal canal cotton, plug it with cotton, so that would not allow the shechvat zera to enter and to fertilize the eggs. So if she does that, it's a two-way street. Not only does it block the entrance of the shechvat zera, it also blocks the exit of the dam. So if a woman is now mishameshet b'moch, and Rashi, and we'll get on later in the Masechta, when you have permission, or when you should be mishameshet b'moch, when a woman should do this, but say the woman's doing it with permission, she has permission to be mishameshet b'moch, and now, when she has an expulsion of dam, it's not going to come out immediately. It's going to be absorbed by the cotton on the way out. That means she'll get delayed information about when the blood was expelled. So Rabbi, Moda Shemai, be mishameshet b'moch. And Ochanami, that Shammai will have to agree in a case of Mishmesh Bamoch that there's a problem. She's not going to cite the dam right away because there's something inhibiting the exit of the dam. And therefore, until the dam exits, it's going to be a delay. And therefore, we have to say the mafreya that the dam came out. That the cotton, because of the quote-unquote sweat of the woman, meaning the liquids that are there, and because of the liquids, the cotton will constrict. And as the cotton constricts, it leaves room for the blood to pass around it. And therefore, there's enough room left that when she sees the dam, we can assume it happened right then, because there's a passageway past the moch. So that's the way Rava learns it. Umoda Rava, and Rava will have to agree, b'moch tachuk. In a case where she's using some sort of contraception where it's plugged so tightly that there is no passageway, that there's nothing to talk about. Of course, Shammai is going to have to agree to the position of Hillel that there is Tuma the Mafreya. Umayika ben Hani Lishna the Haich Lishna. So now that's why I reviewed all the explanations of Shammai. The Gemara asks is what's the nafkamina between the explanations in Shammai? So what's the first question the Gemara asks is what's the difference between the first one, Tarte the Riyuta, and the latter two where either it's Argosha or the immediate sighting? So Gemara says, Ika bein ayu, the difference between them is the mirmei, chavit, umikve, umovoy. The difference between them is whether chavit, mikve, and movoy are relevant to our situation. In the case that you say by the first thing that it's all about chezkat tara, then you can bring up the cases of mikve, chavit, movoy, which are all cases of chezkat tara, or safek in the chazaka. So why are those cases distinct from the case of nida? And therefore we have to explain it. It's tarta the riuta, chara the riuta. But you can only ask those questions on that case. In the latter two cases, we're not dealing with a case of Tarte the Riyuta Charuta. It's unique to the case of Nida, Hargosha, the immediate sighting. These are unique issues in Nida. They don't apply by Chavit, Mikveh, Mavoy. They're not relevant to those cases. Hayek Lishna Ikla Miminhu. According to the first Lashon of Chezkat Tara, then you can ask the questions. Lahani Lishna Lekele Mirmei. According to the latter two, there's no reason to ask from them. In the latter two lishonot, what is the difference between them? What's the difference between hargasha and immediate sighting? Those latter two, what's the difference between them? So, exactly what you said, the baika moch, the baika moch tachuk. The difference between them is this issue if she's using contraception. She's using contraception, by the case of hargasha, it's irrelevant. Because hargasha is an internal feeling. Whether she's using a moch, not using a moch, we want to know if she sees the dam, she would have had a sensation. So the fact that there's no sensation associated with the dam, it's irrelevant. On the case, Shammai believes that when you see the dam, it's an immediate sighting, the moch will make a difference, because the moch will cause a delay between the release from the uterus and the sighting of the dam by the woman. So therefore, this issue of moch is only a problem or a question with regards to the position that Shammai says, that we assume that dam is yotzei immediately. According to the position that it's talking about Argosha, the reason here that Shammai believes there's no Tumah Mafreya is because of Argosha, it's irrelevant. Because if she sees Dam and there was no Argosha, there's another time, must have come out recently. On the other hand, if she has Argosha, we know that that's when the Dam came out. Tanya ki hai lishno. We have a braita that supports that lashon. Dim'ita da'ava dami karava ati. That the sliding would happen immediately. If you have a release of Dam from the uterus, it would happen immediately. Not a braita like Shammai, but a braita that supports that explanation in Shammai. Because we're going to see a conversation between Hillel and Shammai that indicates that that's the reasoning behind Shammai. This is the braita. So Amar lo Hillel to Shammai, I ata modeh bekupa, shenishtamshu ba te'arot bezavit zu, v'dimtza sheretz bezavit acheret. So you have this large basket. They work, they had tarot on one side of the basket. They take the tarot out, and then later they realize that there's a sheretz on the other side of the basket. Shetarot rishonot meyot. That the first tarot are clearly tmeyot. So here you have a case of the mafreya. We only found the sheretz now, yet we're assuming that the sheretz was there beforehand. So what are you going to do with that? Amar lo, aval, umafresh ben zu lezu. He says, no, truthfully, what's the difference between them? So there, the zoo, yesh la shulayim, the zoo ain la shulayim. Difference between a woman and a basket is, the woman has nothing that is me'akev the dam. It's a liquid, it's gonna come out. If it's released from the uterus, it's just gonna exit the woman. On the other hand, a basket has a base, or something that the sherets can be caught on or hang in. When you have a base to a basket, we'll see this later on in the Gemara, then when you want to remove the tarot from the basket, what do? You tilt it a little bit and you pull the tarot down. The sherets could have remained inside. There's no reason the sherets had to exit the basket when you took out the tarot. On the other hand, when the dam is expelled from the uterus, it will exit the woman. So you see, what's the reasoning for Shema here? That once the blood leaves the uterus, it will come out automatically. So here you have a braita that suggests that the reasoning behind Shammai's position is that the blood exits the uterus, exits the woman immediately. Rav Amar, Taima de Shammai, Mishom, Bitul, Kirya, Urivya. Rav gives now a fourth explanation for the position of Shammai, which is that it's going to cause a problem in terms of cohabitation between a man and a wife. And that is because we're going to be afraid. If you're going to say the woman is Tmeah L'mafreya, the husband is going to come afraid to cohabitate with her because he's going to be afraid that when she finds it later, L'mafreya, we're going to say it's problematic. So Rashi says, here came the chashin l'dam b'beit achitzon. If we're going to suspect that there's dam in the vaginal canal, libo nokfo uporesh min isha. He's going to be suspect that it's coming, and he won't be together with his wife. Tanya Rabbi Yochi, we have a braita that supports this. Amar lo shemai le'ilel, imkem bitalta benot yisrael mipiria rivya. If you make the tumah l'mafreya, you're going to ruin it for the Jewish women. They're not going to be able to be together with their husbands. So the Gemara says, Uman tani hai lishna ha tanya tkiyach lishna. If you learn like this, now we have two braitot that say two different things in Shammai. One says, like the lashon of Rava, which is that it's piri rivya. The previous braita said the problem is that if you have a sighting, it's going to come out immediately. Dimi ta'avadami kara havati. So what are you going to do with the other braita now? So Hotam Hillel hu de katoi. Hillel made a mistake and he thought that's what Shammai's reason was. Hu tzavar tamid shemayim de ita avadam ikar avati. He thought Shammai's reasoning was that if there's a setting, a blood will come out immediately. V'kamakshi le kupa. So therefore he asked from the position of kupa. V'amalei Shammai, or Shammai responds to him, tamid de mishum bitul piri rivya. Number one, my reason is because of bitul piri rivya. Number two, olamai de katoita nami. The kamakashit kupa, and your mistaken question about kupa, even if it was my position, your supposition is wrong. You can't ask a question with kupa, because kupa is different than an isha. So he says, not that that's my reason, but even if it was my reason, it's not a good question. And the one who learns that the reason is that when the dam exits the uterus, it comes out immediately. You have a bright like Rava, which says it's Mishum Bitul Pirvirvia. Hachikamila Hilal Shammai. Anytime out Kamart, Deim Ita Dava Dami Ikara Avaati. Says, okay, right. I understand that your reasoning is that when the blood leaves the uterus, it comes out immediately. Nevertheless, why don't you have a sayag? Why don't you make a din d'rabbanan that says lima freya? Let's at least bring some protection here. The mai shnami kol haTorah kula davdin and sayag. All the rest of the Torah, we make sayagim. We make din d'rabbanan to expand on the right to protect against problems. Samalei, his response to them came b'talta b'noisom piri rivya. The piri rivya issue is not about the issue of tumah l'mafreya, but it's if you make the safek and you make it l'mafreya and you add on a din d'rabbanan l'mafreya, then you're going to ruin piri rivya. So we don't want to make a din d'rabbanan here that extends on top of it. The real reason is because when the blood exits the woman's uterus, it comes out immediately. Why not make a din d'rabbanan that it's l'mafreya tmeah? I don't want to do that because then you're going to be vatel, mevatel, but don't show me piri rivya. The Hillel, mi piri rivya, mi kamino, the tarotu de kamino. Hillel says, what are you talking about? There's two different issues. One's an issue of tarot. One's an issue of cohabitation. The two are separate. When I made my din l'mafreya is only a din of tum'ah l'gabei tarot. But that doesn't have anything to do with cohabitation. That doesn't say that we said l'mafreya per rivya is problematic. So Shammai answers him and says, l'tarot nami lo, d'imkein libo nokfo peresh. People can't separate the issues. If you're going to say that it's tme'ah for tarot, the person's not going to say, okay, for tarot, it's l'mafreya, but for cohabitation, it's okay. A person's going to associate the two, put the two together, and say, just like it's tmeah for that, it's going to be tmeah for this, and therefore he won't be together with his wife, because he'll be choshesh for this tumah l'mafreya. So ein ochanami, in principle, and this is what we said in the introduction, there are two different dinim. One's a din in tumah and tara, and one's a din in isur l'balo. So those two dinim will separate. The gzeira, Hillel says, is only in Tuma and Tara. The gzeira doesn't affect the isur lebala. Shammai says people aren't going to be able to differentiate. People are going to assume that if there's a problem in Tuma and Tara, the same problem exists with bala. If that's the case, then the husband's going to say, I don't want to be together with my wife because I'm afraid that if we find out after the fact that it was a problem, lamafreya, and therefore I'm going to stay away from my wife anytime that I think there might be a chashash that she could be tmeya. Itmar, kupa shinishtam shuba tarot bezavidzu, benimtza sheretz bezavit acheret. The question that we brought above in the Braita about a kupa that was used on one side with tarot, and then they find a sheretz on the other side. Chizki amar tarot harishonot teorot. The first tarot are fine. Whatever you did until you found the sheretz is fine. V'yochan amar tarot harishonot tmeot. No, we assume that the sheretz was there beforehand, and any tarot that you did are tmeot. It says, "V'hashamei v'hilel modeh b'kupa t'tarot harishonot tmeot." Even Shammai agrees to Hillel. Hillel was asking this question on Shammai earlier, and we said that even Shammai agrees. He says the case is different than a nidah, but he still agrees to the principle by kupa that the mafreya, everything is tmeah. So here you have Hillel and Shammai, two tanaim, saying that it's mafreya, it's tmeah, and now you have Chizkiyah saying that it's tahor. What's going on? As Shammai pointed out before, that was talking about a basket that had a base to it. The case here by Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan is a case where you have a basket without a bottom to it. They're using it when it's on its side. They're using it laying on its side. Why does that make a difference? The major difference is then how are you going to get the tarot or what's inside of it out? In a case where you have a basket with the shulayim, either you could tip it to its side slightly and it falls out, and that means the sheretz would not automatically be dumped out, number one, or you could take the tarot out, you'll lift them out. In a case where you're using a basket on its side and filling it in, the way you're going to get the tarot out is to turn it right side up. When you do that, everything's going to fall out. But when everything falls out, then the sheretz would have fallen out as well. The fact that when you poured out the tarot like that, you didn't see any sheretz, is an indication that there is no sheretz over here, because if it was a sheretz, it would have fallen out with it. So then, if that's the case, you made such a good case for Chizkiyah, in La Shulayim, my time with Rabbi Yochanan. Then what's the position of Rabbi Yochanan? Chizkiyah has a very good taina. That when you turn it over, everything's going to fall out. If everything's going to fall out, the sheretz should have fallen out as well. No. Ein la shulayim v'yesh la ognayim. It doesn't have a base, but it does have a rim. A rim that is turned inward. It has some sort of lip on the top of the basket, and therefore when you pour it out, the sheretz could have gotten caught under the lip or could have stayed in the lip. So you could turn the thing upside down, everything would pour out, and the sheretz wouldn't come out. Because it was caught in the lip, it was stuck there. Since it was stuck there, you didn't see it. When you turn it back, all of a sudden it's there. So that's the reason for Rabbi Yochanan, we say the mafreya, it's tmeah, because the sheretz was there all along. You just didn't see it. Chizkiyah says, the chance that it gets caught in the lip, we're not going to worry about that. Vatanya, don't we have a brighter? Hamada asara dliim mayim bezeachazeh. Someone who drew buckets of water, 10 buckets of water, one after the other. Vinimsa sheretz bechad b'am, and then he finds the sheretz in one of those buckets. That bucket where he finds the sheretz, that water is problematic, the rest of them are not. That's in a case where it doesn't have a lip. If it has a lip, then we assume all the water is tamei because we assume the sheretz was there all along. When he poured the water out, how come he didn't see the sheretz? It got caught under a lip. When it got caught under the lip, he didn't see it. And that's why he's seeing it now. Without a lip, we assume when he pours the water out, everything exits, including the sheretz. In fact, he didn't see a sheretz until now, means it wasn't there. So leim chizkiyah leitli derabbi Yanai. So let's assume that Chizkiyah doesn't hold like this position of Rabbi Yanai. He says, no, that's not true. Maya srike, perilo srike. Water flows easily. Water is slippery. Perilo srike. When fruits or vegetables or grains, they are not slippery. So you can distinguish between them. Water is slippery, but in a sense that water can exit a bucket. When you dump water out of a bucket, do you have to turn the bucket upside down to dump it out? No. If you tilt it on its side, the water will come out because the water flows out easily. But perot, the case of kupa before, when he wanted to get the fruits or the vegetation or the grains out of the kupa, what did he have to do to get it out? He had to tilt the kupa totally over. In order to get it out and have it expelled from the basket, he has to shake out the whole basket. So in the case of the water, there's a possibility that the sheretz stayed inside because he doesn't tilt the bucket all the way over to get the water out. The water comes out naturally when you tilt it to its side, so he doesn't have to try so hard to get it out. Therefore, the sheretz could have been caught in the lip. But in the case of the basket, where the only way to get it out is to really shake it out and turn it upside down, there's no way the sheretz could have been caught in the lip. So we'll distinguish with the case of basket, where we don't say there's tumah l'mafreya, because if there's a sheretz there, it would have come out already, versus the buckets of water, where there's a possibility the sheretz could have been there and you wouldn't have poured it out, because you don't have to tilt the basket over. Or, inami maya lo kapid alayu, pere kapid alayu. The difference is that by water, a person doesn't squeeze every last drop out of it. When you pour the water out of the bucket, whatever the most of the water comes out, you're fine. If there's a little drop left, you're not going to shake the bucket out to get the last drop out. On the other hand, when you're talking about fruits, when you're talking about vegetation or grains, when you pour it out, you make sure you get every last one out of there. And therefore, there's a difference in the way you pour the bucket. So therefore, a sheretz could get caught in the lip of a water bucket because you're not going to pour so aggressively. Whereas by the basket, where you're going to make sure everything comes out, there you're shaking out much more aggressively, the sheretz should have come out. V by Dema. The case of Shammai and Hillel is a case where the basket had not been checked. The machlok between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan is a case where they did check the basket. Chizkiah says they checked the basket. If there wasn't any sheretz in there, then why do we have to be suspicious that now that you see a sheretz that was there before? That when as soon as he finished checking the basket, that's when the sheretz came in there. Immediately after he checked it, that's the moment when the sheretz entered. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. That's why he says there's tumah l'mafreya back to that last check. Doesn't the case of Shammai and Hillel, Hillel's asking a question where it's similar to a woman. Vishab dukai. A woman's always checking. She's always checking to see if she has dam. Okay, then dishkichi badamim kasheena b'duka dam yo. Now, by a woman, since damim happen all the time, she's the equivalent of ena b'duka. And therefore, we can compare the cases of kupa she'ena b'duka and a woman. Even though a woman is doing checks on a regular basis in the morning and in the evening, nevertheless, in between, there is suspicion here because she can see dam at any time, at any moment. By the case of sheretz, that would be the equivalent of a basket that is ena b'duka, that was not checked. So a woman, even though she is checking, has a status of ena b'duka from the moment she finishes checking because of the possibility of the dam coming. And therefore, Hillel asked a case and asked to Shammai. In the case of kupa, to a case of a woman, even though we're talking about a case of ena b'duka. So the Ibai Deima is an alternative to explaining how could it be that Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing in the case of a kupa with the sheretz on one side and the grains on the other side, we already have that machlok between Hillel and Shammai. Dealing with the case of Kupa. And over there, Hillel and Shammai both say that it's Tumeah. So how could Chizkiah have a position of that there is no Tumah l'mafreya when we have Hillel and Shammai saying yes? So no, we distinguish between the cases. The first answer is that we distinguish between the case of Kupa she'esh la shulayim, Kupa she'in la shulayim. That was the distinguishing factor between them. Then the Gemara says, no, maybe it is a Kupa with shulayim. It has a base. The difference between the case of Shammai and Hillel and the case of Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan is that Shammai and Hillel are talking about a case of a kupa she'ena b'duka, that was not checked beforehand. Where, that's why everybody agrees there's tumah l'mafreya, because the basket was never checked. On the other hand, Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan argue in a case where it was checked. The basket was checked. So then what's their machloket? Chizkiah says the basket was checked. So if the sheretz is here, I assume that it came right now because the basket was checked beforehand. Yochanan says, yes, the sheretz is here now, but there's a period of time between the check and now. What are you going to do about that period of time? Let's assume that the sheretz entered immediately after you finished checking. So how we distinguish between the argument of Yochanan and Chizkiah and the case of Hillel and Shammai is to suggest that one case is a case of duka, and the other case is a case of enu b'duka. The Gemara says, if you want to suggest that Hillel and Shammai are talking about a kupash enu b'duka case, when there is no b'duka, then how does Hillel compare that to the case of a woman? A woman is a case of duka. She checks in the morning, she checks in the afternoon, she's always checking to see if she has dam. So it should be a case of equivalent to kupa b'duka, not a kupa she'ena b'duka. The answer is that a woman has a status like ena b'duka. Gemara now will do another way to distinguish between the case of Hillel and Shammai and Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah. Tomorrow we'll do that because it extends down the daf.